T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The road back to the Super Bowl for the 49ers is going to get a whole lot tougher. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We get back to March Madness in just a moment, but Perloff, we got to take a pivot just to talk about the 49ers for a second. We got a report that came out yesterday from a radio host in Jacksonville who said that there was some interest that the 49ers would trade Brandon Ayuk, the leading receiver on their team a year ago, and you might argue one of the biggest reasons why they even got to the Super Bowl in the first place, because of the amazing face mask catch that he had in the NFC Championship game against the Detroit Lions, which really was the turning point of that game.
Oh, the butterfly catch, right? Because he saw a butterfly and that's why he caught the ball. I actually forgot about that, but right.
Unbelievable. So Brandon Ayuk, a very important piece to the San Francisco 49ers. Cannot understate that and underline that enough. There was a report that the 49ers were entertaining the idea of trading him to Jacksonville for the 17th overall pick and Zay Jones. Now, that seems like it's fizzled out, but now it's out there, right? That perhaps the 49ers are looking to move on from Brandon Ayuk. And this is what happens when, even if you're not paying your quarterback, because they're not paying Brock Purdy yet, and he's still cheap for one more year, the anticipation of having to pay Purdy, the big deal you gave to Nick Bosa, the big deal that you gave to Deebo Samuel, the fact that you are a very good team and you are an expensive team. And I know the salary cap spiked this year, but you can't expect that that's going to happen year after year. And this is what can happen to teams. As soon as you find a little bit of success, if you don't break through and actually win the Super Bowl, your road becomes so much harder.
Well, it's still on the rookie quarterback deal. So that's one thing.
For one more year. Then you don't think that after the third year they're going to pay Purdy? Come on.
Well, you're assuming sustained success for Brock Purdy, which is new for you.
Well, a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship game, I mean, it's pretty good for Mr. Irrelevant. I think he's getting paid after year three.
Yeah, well, is he going to stay upright and have another MVP season? If they do that, then they're going to the Super Bowl again. So I think if you think Brock Purdy's earning a $200 million deal, they're already in good shape. That's a luxury problem they want. But here's the thing. The Niners have been there. They've sustained success through these two cycles because they were in the Super Bowl in 19, got decimated by injuries, and then they made two straight conference title games and then the Super Bowl. So Kyle Shanahan is such a good coach and has such a good system that he's getting deep into the playoffs. And I think that's significant. They're not going away. They're not this flash in the pan just because they had an affordable quarterback. I mean, listen, when Nick Bosa is not on the field, they're obviously a different team. But other than that, I think that they can replace any of their parts. I really mean that.
I don't think so. And I think the 49ers have shown you that they don't think so because they made the big deal for Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, but they got to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey.
Okay, but they obviously felt like they needed someone to put them over the top, and McCaffrey was the one to do it. Now, they're not taking all of McCaffrey's salary, but let's talk about McCaffrey, who the running back market is certainly depressed, but if he stays as the second most important offensive person on that team, then he's going to probably want a new contract at some point. So
behind Deebo Samuel?
So Deebo got paid. George Kittle got paid. McCaffrey doesn't make nothing. And now look at Brandon Ayuk again. And this is the story that came out yesterday that the 49ers may have been talking with the Jacksonville Jaguars about a trade for Ayuk. Ayuk is going into the fifth year of his rookie deal. He's not going to play on that. Nick Bosa didn't play on that. He's not going to play on that. So you have to do something here. And the wide receiver market didn't actually do the 49ers a lot of favors this offseason. Mm-hmm. Michael Pittman averaging $23 million a year. Calvin Ridley, averaging $23 million a year. Brandon Ayuk's numbers are right on par with those guys, in some cases better. He's going to want that big contract where Deebo Samuel is already getting paid $23 million. So you're going to tell me that the 49ers, who are trying to get back to the Super Bowl, that it's a good idea to have two wide receivers making $50 million?
No, you can let Ayuk go.
See, but I don't think it's that easy. I think he's a lot more important to what the 49ers are doing than you think. He's
get
one
a
of
high first-round pick or medium first-round pick and draft another receiver.
Okay, well, the Jacksonville deal, which was allegedly 17th overall in Zay Jones, fell apart. And the reason why is because that's kind of rich when you also have to pay Ayuk if you're the team who's receiving him. So you're going to give away a first-round pick and you're going to give him, you know, $23 million a year on top of it. I think it's a pipe dream that the 49ers are going to be able to get a first-round pick for Ayuk.
Oh, okay, then that speaks to the value of Ayuk. He's not T. Higgins.
I think he's valuable to this team.
Yeah, I think they can replace him.
He's their leading receiver last year.
You know how I feel about wide receivers. They're a bit generic. They can get other guys. I think it's the Shanahan system. I think Ayuk's a great player, and he's really good in that system, and I think he's going to get worse if he goes to another team. And Deebo is the key. Deebo, I think, is as important as McCaffrey, if not more. Their losing streak, that three-game losing streak, coincide with Deebo getting nicked
up. And Trent Williams. Deebo has a health issue. Ayuk has been durable and available for them. And, you know, here's the thing about why I disagree with you, that it's just the system. If it was just the system, they wouldn't pay anybody. But they pay everybody. They pay Kittle. They pay Deebo. They, again, trade for Christian McCaffrey, who's got the highest, you know, contract of any running back. And I know he's a hybrid, but still, they pay everyone. So if they felt like these pieces were so interchangeable, they wouldn't pay anybody.
I think that they're doing that because of the quarterback. If the quarterback gets expensive, then they're going to rotate all these guys out. Obviously, they're only paying them now because they haven't had to pay quarterback. They had to pay somebody here, and those are great players. I just think that they're going to be fine without Ayuk because they have had different shapes in this little mini run. They, you know, obviously, I always think of the Raheem Mostert game. To me, that was a system. Raheem Mostert in 2019 playoffs just ran all over everybody. I think their system lends to a big running attack. I even think they can survive without McCaffrey. McCaffrey's going to wear down eventually. If Brock Purdy's as good as he was last year, this team is not going anywhere.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Purdy is going to get paid. So
I still think they're going to be really, really good.
Okay, but you have to decide. Purdy's going to get paid after year three, right? You have to be at least 3 years in the league to get a contract renegotiation. I mean, Purdy's the biggest bargain of even more than Russell Wilson.
Yeah,
I mean,
and he doesn't have the fifth-year guarantee because he wasn't a first-round pick.
Exactly. So he's going to get something massive. And again, you've got to be thinking down the line here. Do you really want $50 million wrapped up in two receivers? And I'm just going to disagree with you that you think Ayuk is not important.
It's a great wide receiver draft. You can bargain hunt. If they could have gotten the 17th pick for Ayuk, and with that contract size, that would have been a very reasonable deal and would have made a lot of sense. Because you're right, you can't pay everyone forever.
Right.
I think Ayuk is the one piece. If you give me a choice, if I was going to do an open draft of those four guys, the stars we mentioned, McCaffrey, Deebo, George Kittle, and Ayuk, I'm sorry, I have Ayuk fourth. And he's great,
right,
but I still have him fourth because McCaffrey's the best running back. Kittle's top five tight end, top three tight end, maybe top two. And then I'm a huge Deebo fan, so I would give the edge to Deebo, even though he is less durable.
Man, and they've already, I mean, that's just on the offensive side. On the defensive side, Bosa and Hargrave, I mean, these guys, this is not cheap here for this team.
Right, but they paid, for example, Hargrave.
Fred Warner.
That's a function of the cheap quarterback. I don't think they're going to be able to go out and get a Javon Hargrave once they pay Purdy.
Charvarius Ward is not cheap. I mean, this is what I'm saying. The 49ers have a decision to make on Brandon Ayuk. What this underscores is just how much harder it becomes to keep your team together once you get good, but you don't break through because you're in your window. Yeah. So you got to keep spending. You can't reset now. You got to keep spending. And eventually you have to make really tough decisions. And this is where you and I disagree. I think it'd be a huge mistake to get rid of Ayuk. And I bet if you gave them some truth serum, I wonder if they could offload Deebo and keep Ayuk if they would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the league would want Deebo because of the injury history. Yeah. They don't want to pay him. It's a good point. But I kind of think
the 49ers just paid him.
The Deebo is the heart and soul of that team in a way, and I'm going against analytics. And just they just looked different when he wasn't out there. They didn't get that tough yard. And also, by the way, Ayuk could disappear as well. Look at the Super Bowl. He was pretty much a non-factor. I still think San Francisco is going to be great. Here's the thing about wide receiver, too. Ayuk and all these guys, they have these young rookies coming up who are going to be much cheaper and much more productive. I think the Niners are going to be good for not just this year. I think they'll be 2 or 3 years. Counterpoint to all that, Tyreek Hill got traded from Kansas City and they won 2 Super Bowls. You can't afford to put all the money into a number one wide receiver for a lot of teams. So if Kansas City can do it, San Francisco can do it because that's the league they're in.
I think
they're in the top 3 teams almost every year now.
Yeah. I think there's another part of this. If you were really sitting down, you know, having a drink with a 49er fan and you said, how do you feel about going into the season? I think they would probably feel probably a lot more disheartened than what you're painting. And the reason why is because any 49er fan will tell you being healthy at the end of the year is a luxury that they have not been able to have for many, many seasons. And I know Dre Greenlaw tore his ACL, was ACL Achilles in the Super Bowl. I know that he got hurt in the Super Bowl, but you had amazing health at the end of the year. Everybody who you needed, except for Hufanga, who was out, and again, Greenlaw got hurt in the Super Bowl, you had everybody that you needed, and you couldn't win. And you got to overtime, and it was close, but ultimately you lost. And that's where I think you start to like get a little nervous, and you're clenching a little bit if you're a 49er fan, because you've seen seasons go totally sideways because of injuries. You were healthy last year. You're in the game. You have a lead. You end up blowing that lead, going to overtime and losing. And that's the one that's going to be the hardest to get over.
Yeah, I mean, would you have said that, though, when they blew the lead to Kansas City? What's different?
And it took them 4 years to get back. It's not like they were right back in it the next season.
But if
it took 4 years and like a quarterback situation that could have blown up so spectacularly in their face, and they kick-saved in a beauty with it, with the Mr. Irrelevant.
But honestly, they blew 2 championship games. One, they should have beaten the Rams.
Yeah.
If Jacquees, I can't say his first name, if Tart dropped, catches that interception that was in his hands, they go to the Super Bowl, maybe win it, probably could have beaten the Bengals. And then they were right there with the Eagles, and Brock Purdy hurts his elbow early in the game. So I think Niners fans probably, they might be tired of this, but the fact is that they're not going anywhere. Why would you bet against this team? Why would you bet against Kyle Shanahan? I know he can't win the big game, but
he doesn't know the rules of overtime.
He wins a lot of playoff games.
No, he does win a lot of playoff games, but this is the thing that happens with a lot of teams who get close but don't break through. It doesn't get less painful just because you keep contending. It gets more painful because the stakes get higher and the losses get more difficult and harder to deal with.
They are so talented, though. And right now, I looked on DraftKings. They're the Super Bowl favorite over the Chiefs, and I understand that because the Chiefs, 3 in a row seems impossible. It's a historical anomaly that we've never seen. Feels like the Chiefs have a lot stacked against them. The Niners have one big advantage. They're in the NFC, Maggie. There's no Chiefs. It's not your Buffalo Bills who are going to get mowed down by Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs again. They have a great chance to get there again. And I think I'm going to quote Jerry Jones, all you want to do is be around the rim. They have every chance. I think this is... It has to be exciting. If Niners fans, maybe you're right. The bar has
raised.
Don't
tell that to the Niner fan.
I mean,
that's fine for the front office. That's not cool for the fans.
There's a great chance you're going to be there again.
They don't want to just be there again. They've been there. Being there for a franchise like the 49ers does diddly squat for you.
I got to tell you.
Of course you're going to be there. You're the freaking 49ers. You want
to
win.
If you get to the Super Bowl again, you have a great chance of winning. I mean, this game came down to a coin flip. It could have gone either way. I think if I could tell you right now, you're going to get to the Super Bowl 2 times in the next 4 years. That's Niners fans should be happy because there's a great chance you're going to win one of these. Eventually, I mean, these games have been decided by a sliver. Eventually, one of these is going to turn your way. You got to be there. Listen, if your Niners fans are going to complain about 2 more shots in the big game, I'm sorry. What do you expect? You have to get to the Super Bowl to win the Super Bowl.
Okay, there it is. Virtually impossible for the team who lost in the Super Bowl the year before to get back to the Super Bowl. It does not happen. Happened to the Patriots, of course.
But
everything happens to the Patriots. It does not
happen. Virtually
impossible
for the Chiefs to repeat. That was a huge anomaly, let alone three-peat.
Different pressure. Kansas City, they've got money in the bank. They've got money to burn now. At three-peat, I don't even know if they're even feeling the pressure on that. I know they want to, but they've got titles. We're talking about Mahomes being on par with Brady. Like, we'll put that to the side. You're talking about pressure. This is the 49ers. And again, They have not won in this era. And you are going against so much history to get even back to the game. And you don't even have the pelts on the wall with this current iteration that you can do it. You've gotten there, but you haven't broken through. It makes it way more painful.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of expect 13-4 in another playoff run. Unless there's major, major injuries if Purdy gets hurt, which could happen. This team obviously has a lot of injuries. I mean, there's just so much talent on this roster. And I think it's a huge upgrade to get rid of Steve Wilks and go back to a former assistant. Nick, is it Nick or Daniel Sorensen? One of the Sorensen twins who are actually
who are not
related.
Twins. Yeah.
I just think their defense took such a huge step back last year. And I think that'll get, they immediately became an offensive team. They get back to a number one defense, which I think is very possible. They're going to win a ton of football games.
The San Francisco 49ers, we got word yesterday that they were talking to the Jacksonville Jaguars about trading Brandon Ayuk for the 17th overall pick and Zay Jones. That did not materialize, but obviously it looks like Brandon Ayuk certainly on the trade block. He's on in his fifth year, going into his fifth year, needs to get paid, but the 49ers have paid a lot of people. So this becomes a lot harder for them if they want to keep Ayuk. All right. You're welcome to weigh in on that. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up, Maggie and Perloff's March Madness bracket of one-hit wonders. We go to the last call region. We did weddings yesterday. Today is last call.
Desperate times, last call.
Yeah, last call. We do that next. We are counting down 64. We're finding the greatest one-hit wonder of all time. Don't move. Maggie and Perloff.
Oh, yeah. You know what time it is. One-hit wonder week on Maggie and Perloff. We're doing our annual alternative bracket. We've done the bracket of stuff, the bracket of things we hate. This year, it is one-hit wonders, sort of old school. The bracket of one-hit wonders went up yesterday. You can find it at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter/X. Wow, this is getting really heated. There's some close competitions, some upsets, some strong contenders in the first round, Maggie. And now we're ready to reveal the second bracket today.
Oh, first bracket was gangbusters yesterday. So you can go vote, and it's your vote that determines who moves on into the next round. Perloff laid it out there beautifully. First bracket yesterday was awesome. You guys loved it. So let's hit bracket region number two. We did weddings yesterday. This is the last call region in the Maggie and Perloff bracket of one-hit wonders, and let's get to it. The number one overall seed in this bracket is Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back.
Big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. Now when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough?
And a strong one seed it is.
How come they don't make songs like that anymore?
It's a shame. They are going up against the 16-seeded Hey There Delilah by the Plain White Tees.
Oh, it's what you do to me. What you do to me. Oh, it's what you do to me.
True story, this is a song that EJ had never heard of.
Yeah.
The
this is at 98 too. Anybody who does Hey There Delilah over Baby Got Back, I don't want to be your friend.
The eighth seed in the last call region of One Hit Wonders is Kung Fu Fighting. The eighth seed Kung Fu Fighting going up against Hey Mickey by Tony Basil.
Wow, that is a powerhouse 8-9 matchup.
This is a big one.
Kung Fu Fighting comes into any movie, I'm instantly happy. And Hey Mickey, I was watching Bring It On with the girls the other day, the 2001 cheerleading movie. The last scene they do Hey Mickey. Ah, so good in movies. Great songs.
All right, we're doing the One Hit Wonders bracket here on Maggie and Perloff, the fifth seed in the last call region, 99 Luft Balloons.
Wow, went with the German version. There is an English version, too.
Yeah.
EJ probably had no idea about English-German version.
We went with the original. It's the German version.
Right. But in America, I think the English version was released and became a number one song.
I just went on Spotify and saw the one that had the most plays, and that was one of the most plays, so that's the one that got played.
The 99 Love Balloons.
I personally am preferential to the German version myself.
Yeah.
I've never actually thought about this.
And you're thinking about it now for
that
the first
time. That means 99 Red Balloons.
Yeah. Thank you for the translation, Rosetta Stone. The fifth seed is going up against number 12. The song is called Torn.
Illusion never changed into something real. Wide awake and I can see the perfect sky is torn. You're a little late. I'm already torn.
Okay.
Natalie Imbruglia, if we're doing, she's going to win some reaches on her own there. Yeah. Quite attractive. Anyway.
She is. Thank you, TRL, for bringing us that song. Number four seed in the last call region of One Hit Wonders, Who Let the Dogs Out?
Let the dogs out! Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
We've got some good and also equally painful moments from the 2000 World Series of the Mets. Okay, fourth seed is going up against the 13-seeded Rex in Effect, Rump Shaker.
Wow. So we got Baby got back
and Rump Shaker. This is the last call bracket.
Perfect.
Last call region. Sixth seed in the last call region. We're doing best one hit wonders, Maggie and Perloff. Just a Friend.
Oh, baby, you got what I need. But you say he just a friend. But you say he just a friend.
Very strong sixth seed by Biz Markie going up against the 11th seeded Closing Time.
I know who I want to take me home.
All right, we are going through the last call bracket, region rather, of the Maggie and Perloff One Hit Wonders bracket. Number three, and a strong three seed, it's Return of the Mac by Mark Morrison.
Who's the artist?
Mark Morrison, right?
God. Who's that? I know that song really, really well.
It's the best part about One Hit Wonders. No clue who sang it.
Yeah, a lot of these songs, I'm like, yeah, I know that song. Like, I memorized that song. I had no idea who the artist was.
I just assumed he was a great artist until he was on this list. Because I was like, that song's awesome. He's got to have other great songs. And sure enough,
yeah,
really.
Who is he? If he walked in right now, would you know him?
Absolutely not.
No shot. Thanks for the memories, though. That is the 3-seed Return of the Mac going up against the 14-seeded Play That Funky Music. That could have been in the weddings region. I personally banned that song from my own wedding, but I know it's a popular one. All right, we are in the last call region.
You didn't give the artist.
I'm sorry, Wild Cherry.
Yeah, who are they? I know that song again.
Is it more than one person?
I have no idea. I couldn't have told you that in a million years.
So we are doing the last call region, the Maggie and Perloff One Hit Wonder bracket, the 7-seeded Chumbawamba with Tub Thumping.
I get no doubt, but I get over.
Now, you would think that that'd be a very strong contender.
I think I read that was number one for 17 weeks, maybe the most in American history. Oh. It is a huge song.
All right, well, take that Tub Thumping. You line up with number 10 seeded 8675309.
Oh, no.
8675309.
Tommy Two Tone, and finishing out this region, the Maggie and Perloff One Hit Wonders bracket, second seeded, Come On Eileen. Immortalized in the movie Tommy Boy. Thank you for that. They go up against 15 seeded Frankie Goes to Hollywood with the song Relax.
Relax, don't do it. When you want to go to it, relax, don't do it.
All right, there you go. So we have the Maggie and Perloff, the last call region of the March Madness one-hit wonder bracket. You can go vote now at Maggie and Pearl on Twitter.
How come nobody from the years 1982 through 1986 had a second hit? Because, I mean, if you could write Jenny 8675309, you can't write a second hit song. That song is perfect.
Yeah, Come On Eileen, Jenny, a lot of these from the same era. I mean, this started with Baby Got Back. This is a strong seed in this region.
So when collecting these songs, they actually did a different approach because on Sunday, I actually did it on YouTube and I kept having the issues. I kept saying, well, I was putting in words and there were multiple songs with the same name. So this time I went to Spotify to rank them. What was awesome was you could actually see how many streams each song has. So when I would go to an artist, you'd see, again, Mark Morris of Return of the Mac, 300 million streams. The next song, a million.
Thousand.
Torn, 500 million streams. Next one, 900,000. Like, their second best song. Yeah. It's literally like 500 times less listened to. It's crazy.
You know, the fight one, and Come On Eileen, whenever VH1 does a one-hit wonder, that was the post, those guys wearing those weird jumpsuits, Dexy's Midnight Runners. Yep. What were they wearing? They sort of had no shirt and a, what's that called? When you have the...
overall?
The overalls with no shirt look. I think that added to their one-hit wonderness because that look was so iconic and bizarre. That just screams 1983 to me. I don't know what year it came out. It had to be 83, right?
I think we're using the word iconic. We're really stretching that.
Oh, you, Dexy's, everybody, you see a guy with no shirt and overalls, Come On Eileen.
I see a guy with no shirt and overalls, I'm crossing the street.
That's definitely iconic. Or Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
Right,
Pete?
Yeah.
The 2x4.
Another one.
That's right. Tough guy.
All right, so there you go. You can go vote. This is a very strong region. We will have, what are we doing tomorrow, EJ? Are we doing cruising region or
cruising.
The turn it up region?
Okay. Cruising.
So we're doing the cruising region tomorrow.
The turn it up region. I can't. That's awesome.
There you go. Go vote at Maggie and Pearl. Peter Schwartz is here with headlines. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Maggie. We'll start with baseball, and the Giants and free agent pitcher Blake Snell have reportedly come to terms on a 2-year deal worth $62 million. So the reigning National League Cy Young Award winner finally has a home. He has an opt-out as well after the first season. Now to the
By the way, I'm sorry. Scott Boras,
yes.
Clients.
Yeah.
Not a great offseason. I mean, no. You're still rich as all get out, so good for you. But these are not the contract numbers that I think Cody Bellinger was planning on. Matt Chapman, now Snell. His clients are not, we go back, we're Mets fans. Michael Conforto sat out a season because Boras gave him such terrible advice.
It seems like we're seeing, it's funny because this is a sport where we think of Moneyball winning and yet, you know, it seems like nobody was doing the Moneyball approach. It does feel like there's a different approach for a lot of these teams that are just not going to get duped by giving a guy $200 million off one good season. Or even Blake Snell has been a really good pitcher for a long time and still
multiple Cy Young winner.
Yeah, still won't commit to a long-term deal for those kind of guys. And these teams are getting smarter, and I wonder if the Boras approach is perhaps losing a little bit of his luster.
Isn't Pete Alonso a Boras guy?
Yeah.
Yes.
And they're not even talking.
Anyway, so you have to wonder if you're Pete Alonso, like, am I getting a deal?
Or, you just saw Michael Conforto, one of your teammates, not too long ago, have no takers. Michael Conforto in the middle of his career, he's not a terrible player. It was a purely botched contract situation.
And Juan Soto, too, right?
We'll see about Soto.
Yeah, we'll see. Now the NBA, and we'll start with the Kings and the Grizzlies going to overtime.
Out to Sabonis. Dribble handoff to Malik. Can he do it again? Pocket pass back to Sabonis. The two-hand hammer. That could be a dagger. It's 115-107. Malik Monk with the assist pass for Domantas Sabonis with an emphatic two-hand throwdown.
That was Gary Gerald on Kings Radio. Overtime, Malik Monk scored 12 of his 28 points in the OT, and the Kings over the Grizzlies, 121-111. Domantas Sabonis recording his 50th straight double-double, 25 points and 18 rebounds. Now to Philadelphia.
Lowry with it, spinning, dribbling into the lane, jump stop, goes up, underhand scoop, it's good! How did he do it? Kyle Lowry puts it up and in! 95-89 Sixers, 90 seconds to go, a frenzied crowd here in Philadelphia.
That was Tom McGinnis on Sixers Radio. Sixers over the Heat, 98-91, 30 points for Tyrese Maxey, 16 for Kyle Lowry. Yeah, the Lakers over the Hawks, 136-105, 27 for D'Angelo Russell and 25 for LeBron James. Knicks win their fourth in a row, beat the Warriors 119-112, 34 points for Jalen Brunson. The Celtics beat the Pistons 119-94. Jaylen Brown had 31 points. College basketball, it was a rough selection Sunday for the Big East as they only had three teams going to the tournament in the Big East yesterday with a lengthy statement saying how understandably very disappointed some of their teams are that they did not get picked for the NCAA tournament. The only three teams going, UConn, Marquette, and Creighton. And you had teams like St. John, Seton Hall, and Providence who were all characterized as snubs.
Yeah, the Big East statement didn't really do it for me. It was kind of like, we'll do better the next time. I mean, it didn't have a lot of teeth. I know it's because they can't do anything about it.
Rick Pitino's words in his statement in his press conference the other day went a little deeper.
Yeah, and nobody in their right mind wants to hear Rick Pitino complain about this. So, or very few people. I don't think he gets a lot of sympathy nationwide.
It's one of those weird things where you have, three teams essentially ranked in the top 10 in this bracket. You got three teams, Creighton, UConn, Marquette, all top three seeds. But the other teams that missed out, they had very few wins against teams in the field. So, yes, you have elite teams, and maybe there is a suggestion that maybe some of those teams are maybe overseeded, not UConn, maybe Marquette and Creighton if you're not valuing St. John's and those teams. But at the same time, if you're not beating teams in the field, how do you think you just get in because you're adjacent
to UConn? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if that really quite makes sense either. I love the Big East. I'm a Northeaster, but I didn't have much of an issue with them getting left out.
Spring training baseball yesterday, the Yankees beat the Phillies 4-3. Carlos Rodon, 5 2/3, no-hit innings. And then it was time for him to come out of the game, but Aaron Boone did not come take him out of the game. He sent somebody else, maybe with a little more experience in this department.
Aaron Boone predicted that he was going to do this, and this is a really special spring training scene. Joe Torre takes the ball from Carlos Rodon after 5 2/3 no-hit innings. What a sight to see that legend back in uniform.
That was pretty cool to see that yesterday, number 6, walking out. Shut up in there. Sit down, Met boy.
What an ovation.
Sit down, Met boy.
Spring training. Let's go.
Sit down, Met boy.
Get going.
Sit down.
Here's a question. Have they done this before?
I had never seen it. The last time the Yankees sent somebody out to make a pitching change that was not out of the ordinary
was
Jeter and Pettit went out to get the ball from Mariano. But I thought that was pretty cool yesterday.
That's why this is corny. Because
Joe Girardi get it?
Yeah, Mariano is his last game getting that kind of treatment with the vets on the squad coming out to honor him. That's one thing. A spring training game with Carlos Rodon, who's basically been public enemy number one in New York City. You send out Joe Torre? Joe Torre.
Well, I know this is going to get Perloff upset because you always say the older managers wearing the baseball uniform is something.
Yeah, was Torre in uniform? He was in the uniform.
He was wearing spring training jersey with number 6 on the back.
Not upset. I think it's kind of awesome.
Oh, I thought you didn't like it.
I think it's so funny and so dumb. it's great. It's
like
awesome.
The idea that Joe Torre could go out and start fielding grounders. Going back behind the plate, I guess.
Have we figured out how this started? Why is the manager in this sport wearing the uniform where it doesn't happen in any other sport? Is there any background on that?
I think it's got to be player coach from the day, and it's just a tradition
basketball had player coach.
I think we got to change it.
But there were also a lot of times.
Football had player coach too.
A lot of times you never saw Torre wearing the jersey in the dugout coming out to take out a pitcher. He always used to wear a jacket, or he would wear
because
a pullover.
An elderly man.
Yeah, well, yesterday he came out with the batting practice jersey, which, as a Yankee fan, I thought that was pretty awesome.
Best of all time is Tommy Lasorda.
Well,
sport, and he wouldn't wear a jacket; he'd let it all hang out there.
It's going to be a great moment when Carlos Rodon's giving up 9 earned over 3 innings. They're going to remember, we honored him with Joe Torre coming out of a spring training game to take him out of the game.
He was trying to talk Torre into keeping him in because apparently he had a 75 pitch limit and he had only thrown 72. And so they were, if you see the video, you see the two of them smiling at each other. And I think he said, I had 3 more pitches. And Torre said, I was told to take you out now. And he said, okay, he's a legend. I'll come out now.
Can we do this serious? Can we have, is Joe Madden going to come back to a Cubs spring training? Or can we get Jim Leland going back to the Tigers?
Joe Madden those guys have 4 World Series rings in 5 years?
He broke a curse.
And that's sort of a weird parting, though, with Madden and the Cubs. I don't think he's going back anytime soon.
Okay, well, how about Terry Francona once he's done with the Guardians to go back to Boston?
That definitely.
Okay.
That would make sense.
I'm just saying, is this something now? I mean, I know how much Pete loves Bruce Bochy. I mean, now we got Bochy multiple spots.
Yeah, he's got multiple spots.
Oh, yeah, the real manager right there.
I mean, this in modern baseball, it'd make more sense for the GM to come and take the pitcher out.
How about Grady?
He basically does.
Send the analytics guy out there.
How about Grady Little come out for the Red Sox and take the ball there?
Finally take the ball. I mean, for once.
A little too late for Grady Little.
Close with a little NHL history from last night.
Bringing it back now to Carlson. Ovechkin scores! It's his second goal of the game! And that is vintage number 8! From the office, he blows Dustin Wolf away! Oh, baby, it's 3-0 Washington!
John Walton had the call on Capitals Radio. The Capitals beat the Flames 5-2. Alex Ovechkin had 2 goals last night. He's the fourth player in NHL history now with 19 straight 20-goal seasons.
Unbelievable. Peter, thank you so much for that. Coming up, Deion Sanders has advice for Caleb Williams and his son Shador. We get to all that next. Maggie and Perloff, CBS.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio.
Daily.
Do you believe that?
Dion.
You believe that?
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. We haven't checked in on Deion Sanders in a while, Perloff, but he was doing some interviews. He has some advice for Caleb Williams, or maybe a warning, about playing in the cold weather in Chicago. He said this on Sirius XM. Let me tell you something I have a problem with. This kid can flat out play. I think he's the best one on the board this year for sure. And that's coming from California for the last couple of years and went to Oklahoma. That's not terribly cold. Chicago's cold, man. You got to think about that kind of stuff when you're taking a young man. Like when you see a guy from Ohio State, you bring him to Chicago. Okay, I could understand that. But from California to Chicago, not only that, they added, what, 1 or 2 more games, 17 games in the NFL. So basically, Deion warning Caleb Williams about playing in cold weather, but then went on and said that's why he doesn't want Shador playing in cold weather. That he doesn't want Shador ending up in a cold weather city. So a lot to unpack from Deion Sanders. He said, I don't want my kid going nowhere cold next year. He grew up in Texas. He played in Jackson, played in Colorado. Season's over before it gets cold in Colorado. I'm just thinking way ahead. I don't want that for him.
That's true. College football, if you think about it, it's wrapped up by Thanksgiving. There's obviously logic here. I mean, this is actually not a hot take. It's a cold take because he's talking about the cold. See what I did there?
Yeah.
Dad joke.
Nice one.
I mean, come on. I mean, we all know what the history of the Chicago Bears quarterback. Obviously, the argument against this is Aaron Rodgers kick butt and Brett Favre kick butt in Green Bay, which is the coldest place possible. But, I mean, Chicago's got a bad history of quarterback. Weather plays a part. And it also, you know, Josh Allen's done well in Buffalo, but yeah, I think you have to be the right kind of quarterback. Josh Allen can throw ridiculous throws in the cold weather, and even he struggled in the cold at times, right? He can't have the same numbers. So I get what Deion's saying. It's hard to argue with his logic.
This is all so ridiculous.
How so?
Well, because you just mentioned all those other quarterbacks who can play in cold weather, and you forgot another one, Tom Brady. So you have all these quarterbacks who can play in cold weather and have done it, and not only that, they see the cold weather as an advantage and now and can use it and found ways to use it to their advantage. This is kind of weak to me from Dion. First of all, why would you put this out there about Shador? He's never said this. Like don't make it seem like he's not up for the challenge of playing in a cold weather city. And beyond that, he has no control over where he's going to go.
But but that's the basic facts of Deion Sanders. Is he is bigger than any team he's ever been on. He's Deion. He doesn't have to worry about he doesn't care about the draft. He is going to dictate this entire thing because he's Deion Sanders. That was his thing as a player. Okay. You know, he was a pioneer in free agency because he's like, I'm Deion. I'll go where I want to go.
Okay, but think about it. So he's going to, what, he's going to shoehorn Shador somewhere? Well, the last person who did that didn't want to go to San Diego and wanted to go to New York. Cold weather.
Well, bad organization, but
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I think Deion's going to be that kind of parent for sure.
Well, we can talk about that, but we don't know how the board's going to fall, who's going to be bad, like all of these things. And to just say, so you want to play in where? The Carolina Panthers? Because the weather's mild? That's short-sighted.
I think it's also Chicago.
That's a different thing.
Yeah.
They don't have a track record of developing a quarterback.
I think it's a combination. I mean, one of the reasons is it's cold in Chicago. It's hard and it's windy. And quarterbacks hate wind. It's, you know, you might even call it the windy city.
Thank you, bro.
And they're right there by the water. I do think that there's a lot of logic to what he says.
Okay, but Green Bay could go from, they're going from one first ballot Hall of Famer to a second first ballot Hall of Famer, and I think a lot of people are expecting big things from Jordan Love this year. To say that cold weather, it's so lame from Deion, and I'm surprised because he's all about, you know, not making excuses, and this is a huge one.
I don't know. I want to see, I'm with him. I want to see Caleb Williams go somewhere warm and throw 45 touchdowns. That's not happening in Chicago.
Well, the other part is I just want to point this out because I'm sure there's some people who are listening in their car who are probably like, guys, you know, and shaking their fist at us. Caleb Williams is from Washington, D.C. It's not Chicago cold, but it's not Miami. Like, he has grown up in cold weather. Again, Oklahoma, you will experience cold weather. And he's been in L.A. the shortest amount. If you consider his life, he was there for two seasons. One season in Oklahoma and grew up in Washington, D.C. Like, the fact that he couldn't play in the cold or you wouldn't want him to is crazy. You're saying something that the guy's not even saying.
Yeah, but if you had a choice as a Caleb Williams fan, which I am, don't you want to see him indoors? That'd be amazing. I'm still worried that Chicago is going to gut the Caleb Williams experience.
Well, they might because we've never seen them be able to do this, but just because the cold weather, that's not why. Jay Cutler could still throw the ball. I mean, they had a lot of other issues, but throwing in the cold weather wasn't one of them.
Yeah, I don't know. I just totally get it. He wouldn't say the same thing if Green Bay was sitting at number one. I think it was partly because of Chicago. Deion knows the league really well. And I guarantee he's going to dictate where Shador Sanders goes.
Well, we can have that conversation. But here's the other part about this cold weather thing.
By the way, he's not going to Buffalo, he's not going to Chicago.
Yeah.
I think Deion really believes that. And I don't think he's alone. I mean, I understand what you're saying. Yes, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes have kicked butt in the cold. Same with Tom Brady.
Yeah, Mahomes is minus 30.
But at least there is a logic to what he's saying. It's not totally out of left field.
I just think there's no logic to it because if you are a good quarterback in this league, which means you're going to be playing in multiple playoff games, and unless you have home field advantage, which case you could be playing in a cold weather city, it'll be cold, you're going to have to play in a cold game. That's just that's where the cities are. The Super Bowl you might not, but the playoffs you're going to. So why would you run from it?
I don't know. I'd rather be indoors. I'd rather go to Minnesota or Detroit or all these. I personally, if I was a quarterback, if I was Kirk Cousins or somebody, I would want to play in a controlled environment. Given my choice, I mean, Drew Brees' and Peyton Manning's numbers through their career, I think a big part of that success was playing indoors.
It might be. You have to take it into account. But
Jared Goff, look at him outside compared to indoors. I think you probably get a 10% bump playing indoors for your career.
You know, yeah, maybe. I think Drew Brees, definitely there's something to it. I think for Peyton, definitely there's something to it. Although, you know, Peyton definitely had an MVP season in Denver also.
I think also your style of play, now that we're talking it out, depends. I don't think Peyton and Drew Brees and Kirk Cousins have the arm strength of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Caleb's got a huge arm strength, but for some reason he feels like kind of not a cold weather quarterback to me. And that's based on nothing. You're right. He's from D.C., but he feels more like a kind of a high volume passing good weather quarterback.
Yeah, but his biggest comp is to Mahomes, who plays in really cold and windy and every kind of weather possible, feels like, is in Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't know.
And the other thing about Kirk Cousins is Kirk Cousins played in D.C., so you're playing against the NFC East, and that's where he really, and he played at Michigan State, obviously, which is freezing, but, you know, played in the NFC East, so you're playing outside in Philly, you're playing outside in New York.
Yeah, but Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins is a brilliant, brilliant salary guy, and he went to Minnesota where his numbers were going to be huge, and now he's going to Atlanta indoors. If I'm a quarterback, I definitely want to be a warm weather guy. I mean, Tua, you think Tua is going to play in the cold? Look at him. He froze out there.
And I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem for Miami.
Be a problem for the teams, but the quarterback's given a choice. If you had an open free agency, I think they would take the warm weather and the indoor stadiums first.
The thing is about cold weather, though, I truly believe this. It's not just because I'm from a cold place. It is something you can get used to playing in. Tom Brady's from California and had this incredible career in New England with a lot of those being home games in January. So if Tua actually went to a cold weather team, maybe he'd be a little bit better in cold weather because you do get used to it. You get coping mechanisms. Brady wore the scuba suit underneath his uniform. You find out what works for you.
Tom Brady won a ton in the cold. His cold numbers are, but I'm sure his stats went down. So at least from a production standpoint, I think in cold weather, I mean, I remember the Josh Allen versus Mac Jones where Mac Jones threw three passes.
Yep.
You're not going to get those games if you're in L.A. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, but that was a 50-mile-an-hour wind game. Like, that was an anomaly anyway.
It was an anomaly, but I do think that you're going to just have better stats in warm weather. And that Deion is looking out for Shador. We're going to have this same conversation next year. I'll bet you. Man. It's going to be some cold weather team up in the top three. And Deion's going to say, no, thank you.
I love to know that it's about stats and not about winning with Shador. Uh-oh. Coming up, new quarterback introduced to a new team yesterday. Throwing some shade at his old team. It's all that next. Don't move.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.